Okay, this morning we're going to start in Exodus chapter 24. And what we're going to look at this morning is reading the words of God. And we're going to look at places in the Bible where the word of God was read, specifically read to people or read by people. We'll start with the first place where the word of God was written down and then read before other people, and that's in Exodus 24. Up to this time, there's over 2,000 years, I'd say maybe 2,400 years of history where there was no written word. The word was spoken by God to individuals, and those individuals could share that with other people, but there was no written word at the time. So it was really a big deal when God's word was written down for people to read. So in Exodus 24, verse 1, it says, "And he, God, said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord." So this was verbally, okay? He told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord hath said will we do." They made a commitment that they broke about a month and a half later when they made the golden calf. But at least at this moment, they heard the words verbally, and they said with one voice, "All the words which the Lord hath said will we do." And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So this is the first time that we have the words in writing, okay, on paper that Moses wrote. And it includes not only the Ten Commandments, but all the statutes and the judgments that God had given Moses concerning Israel as part of the covenant that he was making with them. Verse 5, "And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant." The book would have been a scroll. They didn't have books bound like we have today. It was a long piece of paper rolled up. "So he took the book or the scroll of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people." So this is the first time that the word had been written down and then read to people right here in Exodus 24:7. "And they said, All that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. So the written word of God is now in existence for the first time. Once it's written down, then someone can go back to it to verify what they remembered from it, to study it, to compare one verse with another. They can do those things now which they couldn't do before. They just had to go by their memory of having heard the word once it was given to them by a prophet or given to them personally by God, but now they have a written word. So what is the purpose of the written word? It's to be read, right? The purpose of having the word written down is so that it can be read from the pages. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 9, this is at the end of Moses' life. At this point, there's more scriptures to be written down than there was in Exodus 24:7. We're in Deuteronomy 31, verse 9. So more information had been given at this point, and this is at the end of Moses' life. Verse 9 says, "And Moses wrote this law," means all the words that he had spoken to those people that day, in reiterating all that had happened and all that God had said for them to do. "Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing." Okay? They would gather the people together every 7 years and read the whole law, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Verse 12 says, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it." Okay? So this would be done every 7 years. Not everybody would necessarily have the means of getting their own copy of the law. It would have to be written by hand. It would have to be done by a scribe, or someone would have to get a copy and copy it themselves for them to have their own copy of the law. But at the very least, everybody would hear it read to them once every 7 years. And then they would be obligated to remember what they heard, because it was not only the word of God, it was the law of the land. It was enforced in the nation of Israel. Now we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 27. And this is something that Moses commanded the people do at the order of God once they would go into the promised land. Deuteronomy 27, verse 1. "And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones, and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee." So when they would go into the promised land, crossing the river Jordan, which would happen not too long after this, they were supposed to take big stones and plaster them so they had a smooth writing surface, and write upon the plaster all the words of the law. So it would have to be a pretty big wall of stone with all the words written in Hebrew. So they would take the paper scroll that Moses had written, and from that scroll accurately put every word on the plaster. That would give them a public copy. So if anybody ever forgot what the Word of God said, or if there was a disagreement as to what the Scriptures said, they could go there together and read it. And it was written in their own language, in Hebrew, the language that they spoke, so they didn't have to worry about errors of translation and things like that. And they could get an accurate reading of the Scripture anytime they wanted to take the time to travel over to where those rocks covered with plaster would be. So we'll pick this up in verse 4. "Therefore it shall be when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster." So he told them the place that they were to do this. "And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones, Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly, so anybody could read it. Now, did this actually happen? Yes, it did. Let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 8. So, following Moses' instructions to the people, Moses died. They had a period of mourning for Moses, and then God spoke to Joshua and told him it's time to gather the people together and cross over the Jordan River and enter the Promised Land. And they did that. God parted the Jordan River for them like he had parted the Red Sea. The Jordan River was at flood stage at the time, but God made the waters part so the people could go over on dry land. And then they had to circumcise everybody, all the males, and then they had to attack the first city, which was Jericho. And God told Joshua exactly what to do to attack Jericho so that they would win the battle. And then the next city that they attacked was Ai, and God had to let him know how to do that. Now we're going to pick this up in verse 30 of chapter 8. After they had conquered Jericho and Ai, verse 30 says, Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. That's a big project, to write all the words of the law in the Hebrew letters in the plaster. Joshua was the one that did the writing. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. So he wrote it in the plaster on the stones, and he read it to the people out loud. Verse 35 says, There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So he carried out exactly what God had told Moses to command the people to do. Joshua carried that out. So there was a public reading of the word of God and a writing of it in the plaster on the big stones in Mount Ebal. Now, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 23. If you were with us last week, you will remember that in the days of the prophet Jeremiah and a king named Josiah, that the temple was being repaired after 57 years of rule under two very bad kings who worshipped other gods and made altars and statues of other gods in the temple. And Josiah started to be king when he was 8 years old, and he wanted to walk with God, and he did. And he ordered the temple to be repaired. While they were going through the rubble in the temple, they found the book of the law, which had not been read by anyone, apparently, in quite some time. It was Jeremiah's father, Hilkiah, that found the book of the law, and he had it read before the king. And the king was so upset that his father and his grandfather before him had entirely disregarded the covenant of God that they were under. But he made up his mind to go back to the written word of God, to teach it to the people, and to live by it himself and the whole kingdom. So he read the whole thing himself. And then in chapter 23, verse 1, it says, And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem, And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. This is something that should have been done every 7 years, but not all the kings of Israel and of Judah obeyed the word of God, and many of them neglected this responsibility. So it had been 57 years since the word of God had been read to everybody. Now, Josiah's great-grandfather was Hezekiah. He was a good man that loved God and had the word of God taught to the people in his kingdom. But when his son Manasseh took over, he abandoned that entirely, got into Baal worship, and completely neglected the word of God. And his son Ammon, who only reigned 2 years, did the same as his father, worshiping Baal and other gods and neglecting the word of God. But Josiah, when the words were found, he read them himself, and he read them in the ears of all the people in his kingdom. And Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, he was the one that said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." That's Jeremiah 15:16, which we read last week. So let's continue here in verse 3. 2 Kings 23:3 says, "And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant." They all agreed that we will do this. We've been under the covenant all this time, but now we're aware of the covenant and we will abide by it. This will be the law of the land. And everybody agreed to it. Now, after Josiah died, his son after him went right back into worshiping other gods. It was heartbreaking to Jeremiah the prophet, who was called by God to let people know that what you're doing is wrong. Come back to the true God, come back to the word of God. But they wouldn't listen to him. And he told them, "Because you have broken the covenant of your God, that you will no longer receive the blessings, but you're going to receive the curses of the law." And the curses of the law would include not only sickness and poverty, but defeat before their enemies. He said that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonians, is going to come and destroy the city. He's going to tear down the temple, break the walls of the city, burn the houses with fire. Most of you are going to be killed. Some of you are going to be taken captive. Some of you will be taken into the kingdom. Some of you will be allowed to remain, but the Babylonians are going to rule this place. And because he said that, the king of Judah put him in jail. He said, "Why are you speaking good about the king of Babylon when you should be speaking good for us?" Because there were other prophets, so-called prophets, that were speaking favorably of the king. But Jeremiah could only speak what God would give him to speak. You see, he wasn't one of those false prophets that would speak whatever the king wanted to hear. He spoke what God told him to speak. And his words came to pass. The kingdom of Judah was taken captive for a period of 70 years. Then at the end of 70 years, there was a king named Cyrus who allowed the people to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and rebuild the wall. And this was done in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. So in the time of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was like the governor of the city of Jerusalem. Ezra was a scribe. He is one who would have taken the scrolls and made sure that they had a good, accurate copy of the word of God. And he was responsible for making sure that it was obeyed and enforced. And in Nehemiah 8, in verse 1, and again, this is a time where they had rebuilt the wall of the city. And it says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Padeah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashum, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, and Bani, and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peleah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Now the people had been living in Babylon, and the Babylonians were taken over by the Medes and the Persians, and that's when the people started speaking Aramaic instead of Hebrew. So many of them could still understand the Hebrew, but they were speaking in Aramaic, which was a similar but a different language, had different vocabulary. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. The law would have been written in Hebrew by Moses. And they gave the sense, meaning they would translate it into Aramaic so that the people could understand. We'll read this again. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the tershatta, it's like a governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Why would they have wept? Because they had not been obeying it all this time. The law told them what would happen if they were to disobey the word of God and to break the covenant. And all those things had happened. They could look back on the history and say, okay, we have had good times and we've had bad times, and then we went into captivity. And they knew that the cause of the bad times and the captivity was when they disobeyed the word of God and broke the covenant. And they could see that the good times that they had were the times when they were listening to and remembering and obeying the words of the law. So they wept. They cried when they heard the words of the law, because they said, we haven't been doing this. And our fathers and our grandfathers haven't been doing this. We should have been doing this, but we haven't been. And they were very sad. Verse 10, let's look at this. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In essence, he's saying, God knows that we as a nation had stopped obeying the word of the Lord and had broken the covenant, and all these disasters had come upon us. But now is a good day, because we have made a commitment to go back to the written word of God and to live by it. This is a day to celebrate, because the bad times are over, as long as we stay committed to the word of God. Because remember, this was the old covenant. They weren't born again. They didn't have eternal life. They had a word of God to obey. And if they obeyed the word of God and they followed it, then they would be righteous before God. Okay? If they were to disobey it, there would be severe consequences. It was a different time than what we live in now. It was vitally important that they go back to the written word. Regardless of what had happened over the hundreds of years since the written word was originally given, now they're going back to the written word. And they said it's a day to celebrate because we're getting back on track after all this time. And it's the joy of the Lord that is your strength. Be joyful. Be glad that we're going back to the written word and living by it again. Now, go back to Deuteronomy 17. So those are the places in the Old Testament where the word of God was read in the ears of the people, where specifically the law. There were other times where the prophets got revelation from God, and those words of the prophets were read to the people as well. But as far as the law being read, again, it was supposed to be done every 7 years, but there were many times where that was not done as it should have. But there were times where someone like Josiah, someone like Ezra, would call the people back to the word of God and say, this is what we're doing now because we should have been doing it all along. And they still had the written word of God to come back to. And that was such a valuable thing to them. Now, in Deuteronomy 17, Moses, by God's command, gave instruction for what would happen when the people of Israel wanted to have a king reign over them. There was a period of time called the Judges where there was no king of Israel. They considered God to be their king. But there were judges that would judge the people of the land, fight for the people of the land, call the people of the land back to the word of God if they had gone astray. But God knew way ahead of time that there would be a time where the people would want a king. And remember, Saul was the first king that God had ordained of Israel, and David was the next one after him, and then Solomon, and then the kingdom split north and south, where you have Jeroboam in the north over the kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, and Rehoboam in the south over Judah and Benjamin. But here's the law concerning the king. Deuteronomy 17, starting in verse 14, says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, or a scroll, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. He would handwrite his own copy of the law for his own personal copy to read. Verse 19, and it shall be with him, this copy of the law, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. This is the commandment to every king that would sit upon the throne. Do we know that this was carried out? It probably was not by most of the kings. But I believe that David did this. If you read Psalm 119 that was written by David, you can see the great love that he had for the written word of God. And I know that Jesus Christ, as the king, would have done this because he was constantly quoting the scriptures, and we know that he read it like it says to do. The king was supposed to read in the scriptures every single day, right? Not once every 7 years, but every single day, like it says in verse 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. You see? That was God's commandment for the king. Well, let's look at Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus Christ was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, it says in verse 1. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Okay? It is written. How did he know it was written? Because he had read it. He had read it. He had read every word that had proceeded out of the mouth of God. If it was in the written word, he had read it. Okay? Would have read the part about the king making his own copy and reading it every day. There's no mention of Jesus Christ having done that, but the evidence of what he spoke indicates that he would have done that. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" So he reminded them of things that were written. He said, "Have you not read? Haven't you read these? I have. Haven't you?" And he explained to them the things that had been written concerning, well, what's acceptable to do in the case of being hungry. Okay? They weren't working to earn money. They were just gathering a little food to eat. And he said, it's acceptable before God to do this when a person has a great need like this. And he explained that to him, but he reproved them for not having read this and understood that. Look at Matthew 19. We'll start in verse 1. "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you or allowed you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. So again, it was, have you not read? Because he had read it. He had taken the time to read it. And he remembered what he had read. In addition to having read it, he remembered it and he understood what he had read. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians was the first of the epistles written by Paul to the church. Okay, he had been in Thessalonica with Timothy and with Silas. He had preached the word of God there. There were those that had believed and they had formed a church. And there were those that didn't believe that ran him out of town. So he went on to Athens, but from there he wrote back to the Thessalonians. And at the end of this epistle, in chapter 5, in verse 27, he said, "I charge you, or command you by the Lord, that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren." So it had been written and sent to them, and it included a commandment to be read unto all the holy brethren, all the believers. Now, some of them could have made their own copies and be able to read it for themselves, but at the very least, this epistle would be read in the ears of everybody, so that the knowledge that was in there would have been available to those people. In Colossians chapter 4, in verse 16, well, let's start in verse 15. It says, "Salute or greet the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." Now, we don't have an epistle that says to the Laodiceans, although the epistle to the Ephesians, many of the early manuscripts, or at least some of them, have the word Ephesus blank in there. It was an epistle that was circulated among all the believers in that area of Asia Minor, and Laodicea was one of those places. So it is not certain, but possible that the epistle to the Ephesians, maybe what he's referring to here is the epistle from Laodicea. But in any case, there was a command for an epistle that would be sent to one group to be read to others also, okay, so that they were circulated among all the believers, so that all the believers would have the benefit of reading or at least hearing the words that were sent by God through Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul to the believers in any place. They were supposed to be read in every place that they were believers. Now in Ephesians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1, it says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles," because he was in prison at the time that he wrote this, "if ye have heard of the dispensation or the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to youward," it's given me for your benefit, "how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So how is this understanding going to come to anybody regarding the knowledge of the mystery of Christ? When you read, you may understand. You see that? That's why it is so important for us to read it. To read it. And we all have copies of the Bible. So getting a copy of the Word of God is not the big project or the great expense that it was back in those days. We all have it. We have printed copies. We have it on our phone. And it's in reading it that we understand it. Okay? In reading it, we understand. Now, last week I recommended to everybody, didn't command anybody, but recommended to everybody that you take the time this year to read through the whole Bible, or at least get started in that project. Some of you are faster readers than others. Some of you will be able to knock that out within maybe a few months. For some, it might take a whole year. For some, it might take more than a year. But I'd recommend that you start that project in addition to what you normally do as far as reading the Word of God. Because every one of you, you have your own personal relationship with God. You have your time with God that you spend, where you read the Word of God, you meditate on it, maybe you study it, you look some things up. I'm not saying to replace that time. I'm recommending that in addition to that, you read through the entire Bible from front to back. And it's not something that will make you any more righteous before God. It's entirely voluntary whether you want to do it or not. But I'm recommending it because if you can read through the whole Bible in addition to the other reading and studying that you do, it will help you to understand the Word of God better, to understand the context of the things that you're reading or studying in the shorter sections, and it will just benefit you if you will do this. So again, it's up to you. You don't have to tell me whether you're going to do it or not. I'm not going to check up on you. But as a teacher, I would be negligent if I didn't recommend this to you. So I would recommend that if you're willing, read through the whole Bible in addition to the other normal reading that you would do. And God will bless you for it by giving you that bigger scope of the Word of God and helping you to understand the greater context of things when you're looking at the smaller details of God's Word. Okay? So, that's it for this morning.